everybody, and welcome to Frights of the Roundtable. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got a awesome show for you tonight. I've got my co-host. We got Anna Zaden here. How you doing, Anna?
Doing good. How is everybody?
I'm doing great. I think this is gonna be exciting. We got something to announce in a little bit. But before then, let's announce our guest. Oh my God, I'm gonna butcher this now because now I'm like thinking about it too hard. John Miori, how you doing, John?
I'm great, thank you.
I pronounced that right, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Miori. There you go.
Perfect. Nice. Just so everybody knows, I had to actually ask before I did it. I actually thought it was a different way of saying it or something. I don't know. I'm like the kind of person that when I say a name, I say it the way that it's spelled out, not the way that it's probably actually pronounced, you know, or whatever, you know.
Well, I don't even say it the right way because it's a very Italian name and has a very Italian pronunciation that I don't ever bother to try and get people to say.
You know, so
I've said Miori for years, but it's Migliore.
Migliore.
Nice. I like it.
Nobody's going to say that.
I think Anna's going to start saying that.
Probably.
We want to announce early on, I guess, in this podcast that this is going to be the second to last show of this series, I guess, for now. We may bring it back at some point or whatever, but for now, it's going away at least for a year. It won't be back for all of 2021, most likely, unless it gets brought back in the fall of 2021 or something. But most likely won't, because there's so much going on right now with a lot of things. And Anna and I will be doing another show, but we can't announce that yet. So nope. we're excited about it. I think John, you would love the show that we're doing because you're a fan of low budget independent films, and it's definitely a studio that we talk about. That's all I'm going to say. That's the only thing I'm going to talk about. So of it. But anyway, to begin with, I just wanted to ask John, how did you get into the world of independent filmmaking?
I'll try to keep it to a brief story because it's kind of convoluted. I was an elementary school teacher for 20 plus years. And a while back, just for fun, I used to do independent comic books. I used to be a writer of independent comic books. And it was something that was hard to do on a regular basis while teaching. And after a while, I just kind of stopped doing it. I was looking for some kind of artistic outlet. And I signed up as a background extra. And the first thing one of the first things I did was I was a background extra in Driven with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so that kind of was fun to see celebrities and be in big movies and spot yourself for a second here and there in a movie. And that's kind of how it started off, but just more for fun than anything, because I was still teaching.
Did you spot yourself in Driven? Do you know where you're at there in that movie?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a party scene where they're all celebrating together, and then Stallone comes in and breaks up the party. Something happens, but I'm one of the party goers that you can see in the background. It's just a fun BG thing that I did, right? It's not like a credit. It's just a fun BG thing that I did. But then years later, I was still doing it, mostly in the summer when I wasn't teaching. And I did In Succession. They all came to the Toronto area around where I live. We did Resident Evil Apocalypse, Dawn of the Dead, Land of the Dead, and Survival of the Dead. And I got to be a zombie in all four of those movies.
Oh, wow.
And in some, really clearly, in Dawn, it's hard to miss me in Dawn in the one scene that I'm in, which is awesome. And in Survival of the Dead, I'm one of the three zombies that tears the main character in half and eats him at the end of the movie. So that's a fantastic, like, I had so much fun doing it. It was amazing.
Nice.
And then after that, I started looking for zombie roles and getting them, because I was like, I was that guy in Survival of the Dead, and they'd go, oh, that's great. Okay, let's have you in Plan 9, or let's have you in whatever. And that was great. I got to do a few things, and then eventually I went from just kind of doing background and zombie roles to actually getting small roles in independent films.
Wait, did you say Plan 9?
Yeah, Plan 9. I'm in Plan 9. Again, it's very brief, but I'm there.
Which scene are you in?
I'm the graveyard zombie that's kind of leading the pack in that underground mall area there.
Oh yeah. Was that? Wow, that was early. That was when, because I'm in the movie too. I also play a zombie in that movie. Nice. And I think I was called in later because John was doing a bunch of different like pickup shoots to finish the movie. And yeah, he had no idea that I was even, you know, an actor, you know, like, yeah. He knew me as a filmmaker. So like, he was like, you can act too. I was like, yeah. He was like, show me your reel. And I was like, all right. So I sent him in. He was like, okay, you're hired as a zombie. I was, if you remember the movie, there was a scene where like a bunch of, zombies like crash a house or whatever, walk in a house or whatever.
Sure.
I'm there, you know. And then I'm also one of the people that get one of the zombies that gets set on fire.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I was actually set on fire, but like it looked like we were getting set on fire. I think one of the people actually did. I think our buddy that you know and I know, John Sullivan, did the stunt stuff for that. So yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's one that, again, you know, I have things on my credit list that are pretty small roles or pretty much, you know, kind of glorified background roles. I have a few of those on my list, but it's because I love being part of Plan 9, even in the small way. I love being part of Survival of the Dead, even in the small way, you know. So that activates the fan in me, you know, having those little roles.
Definitely. Anna, did you want to ask something?
Yes. How did you feel when you get dressed up in the zombie makeup?
It's funny because after a while, it is sad to say, after a while it becomes like old hat. I've done it enough times that you're just like, yeah, slap the blood on. Yeah, do this. You know, and it's no big deal anymore. In Dawn of the Dead, I was still like, I loved watching zombie movies as a teenager. And I was always like kind of afraid of zombies. And so now it's nighttime and we're outside for Dawn of the Dead and we're shaking the vans. I don't know if you remember that scene. There's like thousands of zombies, but it wasn't thousands. It was about 150 of us at the most. And they just digitally, you know, copied us over and over again all around the van. And we were shaking this van so violently, right? And we're getting into it and whatever. And in one way, I'm almost terrified because I'm like, look at all these zombies everywhere. But I was one of them. So it's funny because it kind of got me over my little irrational fear of zombies, but also it made me think, how freaking cool is it to be a zombie? Like, you're just complete raw energy, like let loose without any, you know, thought or feeling. It's great.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I mean, looking at your credits, I mean, you've been a zombie 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think it's going up 8, 9. Jesus. 10, 11, yep. 12.
That's how I started off. I said I wanted to do just background. I did it for fun. And then I did these couple of zombie movies. And my thought was, you know, it'd be great to do more of these. And after I did four, I saw that, I've told the story before, so sorry anybody that's heard it already. There was a Famous Monsters of Filmland convention in Indianapolis. And I was like, I'd love to go there. I wonder if I could get in. And then I thought, what if I could get in as a guest? And so I wrote the guy and said, I was in these four zombie movies and it looks like you're having like a Romero zombie reunion. I was in two Romero movies. And the guy said, yeah, you're in. I got a table for you. And I was like, you're going to be kidding me.
Wow.
So I had a table at this convention. And my thought was, if I could only get in more zombie movies, I could do conventions all the time and it'd be fun. And what ended up happening was I've been to a handful of conventions and like a dozen zombie movies. So it totally went in the different direction that I thought it would.
Well, I do have to ask about this because you worked on two Romero movies and everything. Well, how is he like to, well, like when he directs the zombie, or how was he like when he directed the zombies? Was he, did he direct you guys or did basically somebody else direct you?
No, he did. He directed. And on Land of the Dead, I had a mask and we were doing scenes where we were going in and out of freezing cold water. And so it was really hard to hear him. But I heard almost the same speech on Survival of the Dead. So I can kind of piece it together. He basically said, I don't like to tell zombies how to act because, you know, if as I'm telling you I do this, then I'll get 30 people, you know, all twitching their arm the same way. And so, you know, he always said, you know, you find your inner zombie, you're dead. You're slow, you're not too bright, you know, think about how you would portray that. And he really didn't tell us much more than that. And that's wow. Great because you got a lot of people doing a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, that totally makes sense. But like, yeah, especially when, you know, if one person hears, oh, that's how a zombie is supposed to be. I'm going to act just like that. Then everybody's going to act like it. And then it's going to get kind of monotonous and boring. If you all have your certain, you know, things that you do, you know, I think that's pretty cool.
All zombies are really individuals, which is great. On Resident Evil Apocalypse, they did it differently. They had a zombie school that you had to do before you ever went to set. And they had this thing where they wanted you to move in a very specific way. They were like, we want it to be almost like your body is liquid and have all this, you know, waving motion. And you had to go to the class and do all these steps. So when I saw Romero, because I saw that first, and then when I saw Romero's approach, I thought, yeah, that's right. That's right. The right approach.
Well, that's funny that it's like a zombie charm school that you had to go to, you know. Did you have to eat like with a fork and a, you know, on a thing? That's what I'm imagining.
No, but I will tell you this: talking about eating and zombies, on Dawn of the Dead, they would serve us food after getting all the makeup on and makeup on your hands, whatever, and they'd serve you little sandwiches. And you'd pick them up, there'd be blood all over your sandwich, oh. And you'd have to eat it because what else were you gonna do? You couldn't wash your hands because you had to stay in character. Oh, man.
Now, you keep saying Dawn of the Dead. Which Dawn of the Dead was that? Was that the remake or the original?
No, the remake, the 2004.
I was going to say, I was pretty sure you'd be very young, a very young man if you did.
I would have been 14 in the original, so yeah, not that one.
I mean, it's not impossible that you could have, you know, as a 14-year-old could have, you know, you just would have had to have your parent or guardian there probably, yeah. But they probably did have kids that were younger, you know, playing roles.
Yeah, for sure had a few kids in that movie.
So, like, after seeing the movies, you know, the Romero movies, because I feel like he gets a bad rep a lot of times about the newer ones, you know, especially Land of the Dead and Survival of the Dead, which are the two ones that you are in. Did you enjoy watching them? Not just for your stuff, but just period. Were you a fan?
Yeah, I like them both. I have to tell you that the one thing that I really understand from a point of view of somebody that doesn't like it as much as the other movies, is he really embraced the CGI to save money, to make things move along faster. But I never really, I don't like CGI in zombie movies. I like the practical effects. And I think that that's what hurts those movies more than anything, because I don't think the stories of either of those films are bad. They both have something new and different to bring, and still follow his outlook on zombies. So I still like those movies, but I think that's the one thing that's a little bit of a turnoff for me is the CGI.
Ah, yeah.
Definitely. Anna, did you have anything, you know, else that you want to say real?
I do have a question. In Resident Evil 2 or Apocalypse, which part were you in?
That's one where you can see me in that film. It was just a background role, so it's really brief. But there's a scene where there are a bunch of zombies on a city street that are taking on some STARS, or I guess they weren't STARS guys, Raccoon City Police, whatever they were.
Yeah.
And there's kind of a battle in the street with a truck on fire and all this other stuff going around. There's just huge bunches of zombies. The first time I saw the movie, I didn't see myself. I was looking at that scene. I said, this is the scene I'm in. And I'm looking and go, oh, I don't see myself. And I was all disappointed. Then I watched it again when it came out on DVD. And I saw myself on the other side of the screen. And I'm like, I was walking this way. And then I realized they flipped the negative. And I'm not sure why, but we have here in Canada, I don't know if you guys have it down there, we have pizza. Do you guys have
I've heard of it.
Okay, well, we have pizza. And I guess the sign was pretty prominent in the scene. And so they flipped it. And that's how I ended up finding myself, because I went, that looks like the pizza sign, but it says like a Zeke. What is that? And I realized, oh, it's pizza flipped around. So I started looking on the other side of the screen.
Wow. I'm totally watching that tonight. I own it. I'm looking for you.
I'll be in and out really fast.
Just like a zombie.
Yeah.
So you've done the zombie roles a lot. I mean, are you opposed to doing it more, or are you done? Are you like, I'm a retired zombie now?
That's super fun. I would definitely do it again. Especially, like, I have a good setup now because I run my own indie film studio, Survival Zombie Films. So I have a good studio setup. So quite often I've done now where I shoot stuff for somebody here in my studio in Hamilton in Canada. And, you know, I just sent it to them and they put it in the movie. So, you know, I've done a lot of that where I just studio shoot my myself as a news reporter or as a horror host or whatever. And then it gets inserted into other people's films.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. I know you work with my buddy Matt Cloud on a bunch of stuff, playing Johnny Goulash, right?
Yeah, that's right. Right now I'm working on a third season of Partially Devoured Movies. I always said there would never be a third season because it is so much work, Partially Devoured Movies. But then the COVID thing happened and I had time and I went, I'm going to start working on a third season. And now it's about, I would say, 3/4 finished. And all I need to do is wait until things open up a bit and I can get together with the rest of the cast and shoot a few additional scenes. And then the whole season of 8 episodes is done. So, yeah, I never thought I'd do it, but there it is. Yeah, that's coming soon.
That's awesome. Yeah, how has it been with the whole COVID up in Canada?
It's really strange. I mean, you know, we stayed inside for a long period of time. I was going to only to the grocery store and home, you know, a couple times a week. I'm sure this is very similar to what everybody else was doing. And it just, it was really weird. It was like being a very strange kind of shut-in the whole time, you know? So that's why I started doing, even though, you know, I kind of wasn't going to do all this work in the last few months, I took on work because, I mean, I was bored. I had nowhere to go and nothing to do. I might as well do some work.
Yeah, there was jokes about that zombies would attack or whatever with this. With the, you know, there's even, I think Full Moon made a movie, Corona Zombies, you know, yeah, or whatever, you know, which was ridiculous. But, you know, we got to that point where we don't know what the hell is. We had big freaking killer hornets. We've had, I mean, each month is a brand new surprise.
There's still time for zombies. There's still time. It could happen.
Can you imagine if you went outside dressed as a zombie, like right now, nobody suspecting, you get like three other people in on it on the other side of town?
Yeah. I would be shocked. I figure what would happen. Somebody be going, get him right in the head, right there.
Oh God! Yeah, somebody would be shot.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, so probably a bad idea, you know, because that's the world we live in right now, where people would be like, "I know how to kill a zombie. I watch Walking Dead. You know, all we gotta do is shoot that motherfucker in the head, and you know, be gone." And then you're shooting real people. It's like the person who killed, or the cops that killed Michael Myers, because the dude was wearing a Michael Myers mask in Halloween 2. You know, not real.
Yeah.
Not real. Didn't happen in real life, as far as I know. But in Halloween 2, they killed that person that was walking by. And, you know, always gets me. I'm like, oh, it sucks for that person. You know?
Especially
the clowns coming out and people shooting them, right?
What?
What's that?
You remember the clowns coming out in the woods?
Yep.
People shooting them. I was like, stop dressing as clowns and walking out of the woods, people.
I know. People think it's funny until they get killed.
Then exactly. What's funny about that Halloween 2 death is the guy that's dressed as Michael Myers that gets killed, they identify him as, is it Brett or Brad Tramer? And right. In the first movie, she says that she's like got a crush on a guy, and it's the guy that gets killed, of course, in the
of
second.
Of course.
Oh, wow. I never put that together.
I never did either. But the worst part about the whole thing is the cops are pointing their guns at you, and the dude keeps walking.
Yeah.
Like as if he was, you know, like.
Got to stay in character.
To your death, man. Like, that's just. That was weak. I get mad at films for that. I don't know. You're a filmmaker. You should know this. When movies make it where the people are really slow or whatever, you know, and it's there supposed to be for suspense with the music and everything, but it's not realistic. People don't, you know, and I swear to God, if somebody had said, hey, we're cops here, whatever, put your hands up, you know, you're going to do it, you know.
Yeah, I didn't say that, but I saw a meme recently where someone said, I want to apologize to the creators of all these horror movies because after seeing how people act during this whole corona crisis, I understand now the idea of people being so dumb that they don't follow any of the logical rules.
Wow.
That's so true, though. I like those commercials. There's like those commercials where they're like the person keeps walking slowly at them and they keep tripping and falling. And then the person's getting upset. The killer's getting upset because they're like, come on, you know, and the person keeps doing that because like literally that happens in every single slasher movie. I even write those in slasher movies, you know, or whatever, you know, cause you have to get the moment where they trip and then the killer catches them, you know? Like,
yeah, well, the trip's everywhere. Like even the original Night of the Living Dead, as Barbara's running from the very first zombie, she trips somewhere in the graveyard and then kicks her shoes off and keeps running, right? So like,
right.
The trip is everywhere.
Yeah. So you've done a lot of feature films and everything. Can you tell us what it's been like going from being just an actor, you know, in films to actually going off to making your own movies?
The making my own stuff probably started with the first season of Partially Devoured Movies back in 2012. And probably a lot of actors will relate to this, where it was one of those things where I was getting work, but not fast enough. I wanted more. I had too much downtime. I was excited to do more, and it just wasn't coming as quick as I would like. And so, you know, I bought a camera and started filming things. And it started as simple shows and shorts at the beginning, and then eventually into features. So it's funny. It's one of those things where you want to, I mean, you know, you love an industry and you want in, and you've got a little bit in, and you just like, I have to have more. And a lot of the me making films just came out of, you know, not having the patience to wait for whatever next film was coming my way.
And definitely. Anna, do you have anything you wanted to ask?
What is your favorite thing that you've done?
Oh, it's so hard to answer because I love so many of the things that I've done, because unlike other actors, I don't audition for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. If I audition, I audition because I'm like, oh my God, I have to be part of this movie or that. But I'm more like an over-glorified fanboy than I am an actor, where some actors would be very excited to say, I was in this commercial, I was, you know, seen by this many people. I'm more like, I'm the, you know, the deputy that gets blood dropped on his head in Raiders of the Lost Shark, you know?
It's right.
You know, I for me, that's kind of the thing. So I guess anything that's kind of a little more high profile is cool. Like anything, like as far as zombie stuff goes, I mean, it's awesome to have been in Plan 9. It's awesome to have been in Survival of the Dead. As far as my own stuff goes, I'm real happy with Creature from Cannibal Creek and Exorcism of the Dead. As far as other people's stuff goes, I've been in a lot of Brett Kelly movies. Brett always makes fun films. I've right. done a lot of work with Matt Cloud, and I'm always happy with the kind of stuff that I do for him. So, yeah, there's almost too much stuff to mention.
Nice. So you're like me. You just like it all.
I love being part of it. And, you know, and like I say, I don't look for dramatic roles. I don't look for, I don't know, even serious stuff half the time. I'm kind of happy in this little crazy indie horror world that I've, you know, grown accustomed to.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun world.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Yeah, just like both of us, Anna's been has worked on other films too. She was actually in a James Balsamo movie and a Donald Farmer movie. I don't know if you are familiar with those two filmmakers out there. You haven't worked with James Balsamo yet, have you?
No. I'm pretty much Canada bound these days. Yeah.
So you stick with that crew, you know, with like Brett Kelly and.
Yeah, mostly. The only thing really in the last several years that I've done that's work in the States has been whenever I can shoot something here and send it in. I've done that a few times. Have you seen Bloody Ballet?
No, I saw the cover to it. I want to see it.
Yeah, it's a really cool movie. It was called Phantasma, and now it's called Bloody Ballet. And I'm a horror host in it, and I'm seen on TV a couple of times throughout the movie. And I mean, I shot it here in my basement with a green screen and just sent it in. So I love doing stuff like that. That's always great for me to. Always excited to do little cameos for people in their films.
That's awesome.
I am I'm looking at it right now and want to see it too. And I see that Matt, I guess, co-wrote it.
Yes.
But it's got a great cast in it. So
it's fantastic. It's a really good movie.
Nice. Definitely want to check that out. See, that's great that you're able to do that. There's other actors out there that do that as well, where they film their own stuff and then they turn it in, you know, which I think is just the way the technology is these days, that you can almost make a whole movie of just doing that, you know, like, you know.
The one that I just finished work on is Conga TNT, which is a Brett Kelly movie. And we made it completely in isolation. So because it was all done during this COVID period. So Brett took clips from other films of his, some of which have not been released.
Oh, and so nobody knows that those are clips.
Yeah, yeah. So there's some stuff that'll be, it's not new to me or to him because we've seen it before. But it's pretty much new to everybody else. So there's that. Then there's new scenes that I shot here. There's Trevor Payer, who is the writer. There are scenes with him that he shot at his house. And there's scenes that Brett shot. And then we opened it up to people and we said, okay, we're making this kind of a film. And we were getting people to send us reaction shots to seeing a gorilla that wasn't there, and then that footage got sent to me as the film's special effects artist. They sent that stuff to me, and then I was adding, you know, gorillas everywhere to people's footage, right?
Wow.
So it was a neat experiment for sure.
Well, speaking of working with Brett, you worked with him on Ouija Shark, you know?
Yeah.
You watched that too, didn't you, Anna? Didn't you?
Yeah, I watched it last night. Very interesting. The shark cracked me up, man. The girl smoking with the shark and then he ate her, and I was like, oh my God, what did I just see?
That was a lot
in
of
your
fun.
Your final scene, oh my God.
Yeah. I laughed making it. So I was like, I hope everyone else laughs too.
It was too great, man.
I saw a review, and I, like, you know, movies like this don't deserve like reviews, period, because, you know what I mean? Like, we're doing it on Indie Film Cafe for the video. We're gonna be doing it for the last last What the Fuck Friday, because this is definitely a what the fuck kind of movie. But that's the thing with it, is it's not at all meant to be taken seriously. And
how can anybody think for a minute, okay, the movie's called Ouija Shark, okay, and you're taking it seriously already? There's more wrong with your thinking than with us making this cheesy movie. We know it's a cheesy movie. It's called Ouija Shark, after all. And what I really love is the trailer that Wild Eye Releasing put out. You see the shark in the trailer. Well, the shark looks ridiculous. Like, right. The shark is like this goofy rubber puppet thing. And there it is in the trailer. There's no, we're not pretending that, you know, this is like some kind of mystical, magical Jaws movie. No, it's not. It's Ouija Shark. I'm glad that they owned it in the trailer. Like, they own it. Like, here, look at the shark. There it is. We're holding nothing back. This is cheese. Enjoy.
Right. they don't go, well, okay, this looks like crap, so we're just gonna hide the shark until people actually watch the movie or something. Then they'll see the shark. But here's the thing, like, you know, what I don't think a lot of people get, especially when they do reviews on like IMDb, is that they are taking this shit seriously, right? And then they get mad when it's not a movie that takes itself seriously at all. But however, the characters still take it a little bit seriously, you know, because
you have to. It's kind of like Adam West in Batman, right? You have where, I mean, he's Batman. It's ridiculous. What he's doing is ridiculous. But because he delivers it like it's all real and he means it, not only does it make the character more likable, but it also makes it that, you know, you can laugh even more at how ridiculously serious he's taking everything.
Uh-huh. No, and that's exactly what it is. Like, when I watch a Ouija shark, I'm laughing my ass off at it because it's just so ridiculous. Yeah. And over
and we're happy if you're laughing your ass off at it, because, I mean, we did it to have fun, right?
Right. Well, same with, like, even Raiders of the Lost Shark, you know, with that. We reviewed it for ND Film Cafe, and we give, like, one to 10 rating, right? 10 being really bad or stinky. And when we say stinky, we don't say, like, this is a bad movie, people shouldn't watch it, generally speaking.
This has its own bouquet.
Right. But we generally tell people they should watch it, you know, because it's bad, you know, or whatever, or, you know, and whatnot. And I think I feel bad because I think some people don't get that, you know, even filmmakers, they don't get it because they, you know, but most of them should know. I mean, if you're going to make a movie like Barn of the Blood Llama, it was one of the movies that we had to review. I mean, you're going to make a movie called Barn of the Blood Llama, you're going to know it's going to be bad. And, you know, you got to own up to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's a whole market out there for people who love cheesy movies. Mm-hmm. They want to laugh. They, you know, and maybe just in some way they get a sense of superiority over it. But I think in most cases, people watch bad movies just because they get to laugh. They get to not take everything so seriously. Somewhere along the line, we've forgotten that movies are entertainment. I just want to have a good time.
Yeah. Well, there are some people that turn them into drinking games.
Well, that's a good time.
I went to a party where they did that with a horror movie. I don't remember what it was. It was so bad, but they're like, every time a bad scene comes on, you got to take a swig of your beer. I got so drunk within the first 20 minutes. I was like, I can't do it anymore. I can't.
We do it with Diet Coke, just so you know.
That's safer.
I'd be drunk a lot considering the kind of movies I like to watch. So,
oh, man, just think of how full your stomach gets.
Oh, you want to hear something bad? My friends they're playing a drinking game with like alcohol, and I don't drink, right? So I was playing it with Monster, you know, the energy drink. Wow. So yeah, that was fun.
How did you feel after that?
Well, I laugh about it. I always say, like, everybody else was passed out and I was wide awake.
Yeah.
That's how it was, literally. Everybody was in the hotel passed out in their rooms, and I was going bouncing off the walls, chatting with people on the phone and shit. It was nuts.
That's when you get the black marker and start writing on people's foreheads.
Yes.
those are the fun times. Nobody's ever made a drinking game horror movie. You know,
there should be one.
Yeah, where people are playing drinking games and then it turns into something worse. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm starting to come up with shit. Somebody's gonna make it now. Now that I put that out there, somebody's gonna make it. It's gonna happen.
Oh, man,
I'm taking notes.
You know, you're taking notes.
Taking notes. Yeah.
Yep. You're gonna start writing this movie. Hey, I'll write it with you. Well, make millions of dollars. You can shoot it in your studio.
Yeah.
Well, that's the beauty. Like, I love that you have a studio. I actually have one in Virginia that we do, but we don't have a lot of shit set up yet, you know, and everything. So we're working on that. But I don't have it out in LA. I mean, this is my studio. I guess my bedroom. You know, like
mine's very portable. It's you know, it's nothing spectacular. It's a green screen. It's light sets. It's backdrops. It's whatever that I can put up in a big area that I have that's nice and open, and then when I'm done, like for Congo, the thing was set up pretty much right where I am. I had you know, my green screen and all my lights and everything set up. And then when it's the movie's done, I tear it all down and put it away.
That nice. So your studio is your room, basically.
Yeah, it's a big basement room that has, like, it doesn't have a lot of furniture in it. So I have lots of room to be able to move and do things and set up cameras at, you know, different angles. And, oh, well, it's cool. It serves its purpose.
Nice.
Because I think when I was talking to you, you were saying something about you were retiring or something. Like, what is going on with that?
I've been trying to retire for a while, and
it keeps sucking you back in.
Well, things keep happening that bring me back in. So after Creature from Cannibal Creek, which is coming out in October from Wild Eye, I was really happy with that film. I'm really happy with how I filmed it, the directing, my own little acting bit in it. The actors in it are fantastic. Deborah Jane, Deborah Jane Riley Smith. I almost said her name wrong, which is ridiculous because I've known her forever. She gave like the best performance, and she's been in a bunch of my movies, but she's so hilarious in Creature from Cannibal Creek. And I just thought, you know what? I'm done. I'm not making another movie probably as good as this anytime soon. This is a good time to stop. And then just other things started presenting themselves, and I do a little thing here and say, okay, now I'm stopping. And then I do another little thing there. Okay, now I'll stop. So I don't know. I'm the crappiest retiring guy ever.
you can't retire retiring, can you? You know?
Yeah, I can't. I can't quite get it right. It's, I guess, the problem. I'm sure there are people out there that see Reggie Shark and say, yeah, man, you should have retired.
Well, to be fair, I mean, like, okay, so you're the co-writer of it as well as one of the actors in it. How did you end up being a co-writer? Because I noticed, like, I guess David and you are credited in the movie, but even on IMDb, I don't think you're credited for that.
Oh, that's probably just because I haven't updated it.
Oh.
What basically happened with Ouija Shark is it was written by David Lloyd. The concept came directly from Wild Eye. Brett was hired to make the film, and he had a deadline in which he had to have the whole film produced by a certain time. And what happened was Brett was also filming, I think it was Murder in High Heels around the same time. And I was there for that because I was in that movie. And we were talking about Ouija Shark. And I said, well, I'd love to shoot something in Hamilton for you. You know, the driving back and forth to Ottawa was really starting to be tough on me. I was like, you know, I'd love to shoot something in Hamilton for you. And what happened was he told me that because one person dropped out of the film, the script needed a little bit of work because this, suddenly one character couldn't be there because a grandparent died. And they couldn't be there for the next little while of shooting. So they kind of wrote her out of the movie and then brought her back later. So the script needed some work because of that change. And then Brett was like, okay, yes, you can film stuff on your own because the movie's also probably about 10 minutes short running time wise. So how could we include you in the movie and build up the running time? And also you could write that part yourself. So we came up with this idea of the main character having a dad who wanted to help her with her supernatural problem. And all of that stuff is basically what I wrote and what I shot on my own. And the other thing that I did on Ouija Shark was, besides be in the movie and do some of the writing, is I did all the special effects with the shark. So Brett sent me the shark by mail. The shark came by mail. I opened up the box and it was, you know, had all those little styrofoam messes all over them. And I pulled them out and I shot, again, right here in this, my studio area. I shot all the shark scenes for the movie.
Nice.
That's great.
I mean, yeah, so it was weird. It was kind of like a mishmash of jobs that all had to be done in a very short period of time.
Well, I just want to say we also, Anna and I had Sebastian Godin on the show. So we had Seb on the show, on this show. Was it, I think, a couple months ago when we last did it. So it's really neat that we're able to get, like, you know, you amazing Canadian filmmakers out here. I'm trying to get Brett to come back on at some point. I think that would be a great way to close it, because he was my first guest on the Independent Corner radio show, actually. He was my first guest. He came on just out of, you know, boredom, I guess, because he saw that I posted on MySpace, and that's how long ago it was MySpace days.
Oh, wow. So what movie was that at the time? What movie?
Well, he was talking about Feral Man. He was talking about that the Blockbuster had Bonesetter. And I think it was about the Bonesetter Feral Man / I think maybe he had done Final Curtain at that particular moment and stuff like
very
that.
Early
Brett Kelly, yeah. I mean, because I think he started in 2002 or something, you know, that he started filmmaking. And he... Yeah.
My Dead Girlfriend, right? Is that his first one, My Dead Girlfriend?
Well, no, his first one I think was Feral Man.
Feral Man.
That was his first, period. And I love that movie. I absolutely adore that. I still adore that movie. Actually, I listened to the commentary a little bit more than I watched the movie, because I get a lot from his commentaries and stuff, which I'm always so sad when I don't see commentaries on DVDs anymore. You know, that used to be my favorite thing, because, and I remember, do you know a filmmaker named Chris Seaver? He's been in the film business for a while. But actually, Brett had worked on one of his movies called Destruction Kings.
I'm familiar with Destruction Kings.
Yeah. So Chris Seaver had, you know, said something about how, and he might be right, but he was like, do you buy the movies for the movies or do you buy them just for the freaking special features? You know, right? And I was like, that's true. But I mean, if you're going to spend $20, $15 on a movie, you know, it better have some special features, because
it's nice to have extras. And it's especially nice anytime you can get a featurette that was from the time the movie was made, because that stuff ages so in such an interesting way, you know, 10 years after the movie, 20 years after the movie. It's always cool to see on set featurettes.
Definitely. I absolutely. Yep. What were you going to say, Hannah?
I said, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to add anything to that. We both feel the same way. I mean, I think all of us probably enjoy watching the special features on DVDs, you know, like they're a lot of fun. Especially, I think what Anna, we were talking about this on a former podcast, probably on Seb's, but that you were in, Cornell, and we were mentioning that, you know, your scene was deleted. But I think it's on the DVD, maybe, right?
Yeah, it's on the DVD. Looking and I was like, there's the extras and it said deleted scenes. I was like, oh my God, that's my face. So I watched it. I was like, oh man, I made it to the DVD. I hope my parents never see this.
And she's not saying it because the movie's bad, but because she does do nudity in the movie.
Okay.
It's a little bit different of a reason. Like, she's not saying, oh my God, oh, the movie, they never see this movie.
Yeah, because I watched the movie and I was like, whew, I'm not naked. And then I looked on the special features and it's like, uh-oh. It's like, I'm naked. I didn't do bad, though, even though I had a cold.
Oh.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I, every time I've asked him, I'm cold naked.
You would be cold naked. I mean, you know.
Now, every time I've acted, I've been sick. So I was like, okay, well, at least I'll be cool in there. It was winter time. I had a runny nose and I was like keeping makeup on because I was like, I don't want to look like I'm doing something really bad. So so the guy, James, handed me a robe. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. And I walked out and we did the scene and I was like, I started laughing in the middle of filming because how stupid it all was. It's like I'm naked laying on a table getting gutted by a spoon. This is stupid. Yeah. But it was so funny. I couldn't stop laughing. So he put me laughing in it. I was like, that just made it creepier. And he named it Rich's Nightmare. I was like, oh, I'm a nightmare. That's awesome. But he had to stop me because I kept licking the blood off my hands because it was corn syrup blood. It tasted so good. He turned around and I was licking my fingers. He's like, stop that. He slapped my hand. I was like, I'm sorry. It tastes really good and I'm hungry. So
I said the same thing on the set of Survival of the Dead. We tore a guy in half and they had these buckets of blood that literally said zesty mint flavor on the side.
Oh my God.
And so they brought it out and they were pouring it all over the bodies. We were ripping it apart and whatever. And here I am doing probably not real violence, but probably the most violent thing I'd ever done. Like we ripped a man in half. And pulled out his intestines and ate everything, and it tasted good.
That is funny.
Well,
oh my goodness!
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
You know, it's funny because you think about it. I mean, a lot of the blood is like corn syrup, and you know, and all this other stuff sometimes or whatever. And I'm just always in awe of like how many, cause people have to look what zombies eat brains, right? So a lot of times they're eating the bloody brains or whatever. It's gotta taste pretty decent, you know,
they
or whatever.
Or else why would they do it? Of course.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, but, if you ever drink, you know, eat your own blood, it's not very, yeah. It doesn't taste as good as yummy as the, things. I do not recommend you know, drinking your own blood. I don't know if that'd be whatever it's called technically to drink your own blood. Don't do it.
Vampire. Yeah, don't drink the bottle of blood from Walmart either. It tastes like pure copper.
Ew.
Oh, that's messy. Freezes your tongue. Like yes. I've had it around my mouth, that cheap, you know, yes. I don't know.
Except it turns gold.
It literally, if you get it around your mouth or on your tongue, it literally numbs.
Yeah, it does.
It's not good. Like, don't get
it. No, I had to perform in a concert and I had to hold it in my mouth and spew it out across the stage. That stuff, I couldn't feel my tongue for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? It was so bad.
I would say to anybody dealing with that over-the-counter kind of Halloween blood, oh my God, do not put it in your mouth because it will numb you like crazy.
And like, it's probably got something on the thing saying do not eat or do not
It says do not ingest.
Meant for mouth, right? They sell mouth blood separately, but I don't think people think about that. Or in some cases, I've been on movie sets and they just use whatever they have, right? So now they're putting it on your mouth and you're like, I can't feel my tongue. Not good.
You just reminded me of Jar Jar Binks right there. He's like, that can't feel my tongue.
Oh my God.
I wish we could talk for like hours, but unfortunately we're running out of time. And I wanted to, well, first of all, thank you so much for coming on. This is awesome.
Yes, thank you. It's been fun talking to you.
Was there any projects that we did not get a chance to mention that you wanted to promote or to get out there?
Just really quickly, recently, Johnny Goulash Escapes from Creightonville came out from Screen Time Films, and you can find that on their website. And also, I released a movie called Curse of the Bloody Voodoo Sock Puppet Nice. It is on my Vimeo channel, which is just Survival Zombie Films on Vimeo. It's a on-demand film that you can watch for all of like a buck. And what's cool about it is I filmed the movie on video in 1990 and 1992. And I rediscovered it recently, digitized it, filmed new scenes for it, and released it. So it's like a 30th anniversary of this cool old movie. So that's on my Vimeo channel. It'd be great if people check that out.
Awesome.
Thank you.
What is the link to your Vimeo channel? Do you have a name for it or whatever?
Let's see, just off the top of my head, it's just, if you just go to Vimeo and search Survival Zombie Films, it'll go right to my channel.
Okay.
So that's the easiest probably.
Awesome. Well, and how can people reach you yourself? Like, how can people contact you?
I guess mainly through Facebook. If you can't get me personally through Facebook for one reason or another, on Facebook also there is Survival Zombie Films, and you can definitely contact me through there. So there's a fan page for Survival Zombie Films on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Anna, did you have anything that you wanted to ask him real quick before we head out?
No, it's just good meeting you. I enjoy talking about the zombie stuff with you.
She got really excited about the Resident Evil. Even before the show, she was messaging me going, "Oh my God, Resident Evil!" Like, you know, like,
don't blink or you'll miss me. It's not a big role.
I'll just go slow motion through the scene.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, she knows what to look for now.
Yeah, you told me exactly where to look. Thank you.
I know. You said the look for the thing that's opposite of pizza, basically. Yeah. You know, backwards pizza, and then you'll find
pizza. Is that up?
So hopefully everybody else will that is watching this and was like, "Oh crap, he was in that. I need to go recheck that out."
Everybody, I gotta find the frame he's in.
What?
I gotta find the frame he's in.
Yeah, exactly. And then maybe put it online somewhere. Hey, here you are. That's what you should do, Anna. If you find it,
I will do that.
Pause it and take a picture and post it on Facebook. We can all see it.
Yes, totally.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. This is wonderful. This is a great episode. And remember, everybody, we've got one more episode. Not sure who exactly is going to be on that one, but it's going to be next month. In August, and then in September, we are doing another podcast. So we start a brand new thing. So we're not taking any kind of breaks. We're just going right into the next one. So is that right, Anna?
Yep.
So we're really excited. We can't wait to talk to you. And I'm sure we'll get John back on again. One of the last things I wanted to mention, though, that we didn't mention is that we have John and I actually have met. You know, before at a horror convention, Halloween Fest. So we really enjoyed being at that convention, and I mean, it was a blast and everything. So yeah, so we'll have to definitely. I really hope our paths, you know, cross again. If you're ever in LA, just hit me up. You know, we'll hang out. You know,
yeah. Let me know if you ever come to the Toronto area.
Nice.
I will. I've never been to Canada yet, and that's one place I really, really want to go. I have a lot of friends who live out there and everything, so it'd be wonderful. But cool. We'll see, you know. All right, well, thank you guys so much, and I hope everybody has a fantastic week. And bye, everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye.
It's even better. I can pick my nose.
I think we got that recorded. All right.